Okay, let's dig into this. We have got a really interesting stack of material here, all focused on one thing. Basically, helping you, especially if you're newer to law, get a handle on preparing for arbitration, you know, ADR.
That's right. And these notes, these articles, they lay out a pretty clear path.
Yeah, they do.
Our goal here really is to pull out the key stuff, the absolute must-knows.
A shortcut, kind of?
Sort of a shortcut, yeah, to feeling like you know what you're doing and you're confident when you walk into that arbitration.
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, arbitration often gets talked about as less formal than court.
More efficient, private.
Exactly, streamlined. But these sources, they're hammering home the point that less formal does not mean less work.
Absolutely not. They stress it takes serious prep, serious strategic thinking, maybe even more critical when you're starting out, right, wanting to make that good impression.
Totally. And they even point to the AAI chatbook Case Prep and Presentation AI, that free tool from the American Arbitration Association.
Yeah, as a resource to help out.
So, okay, with all that said, what do these materials actually tell us about getting ready, step by step? Where do you even start?
Well, step one, according to everything here, is always the same place.
Which is?
The arbitration agreement itself.
Ah, okay. Foundational.
Absolutely. It's like the rule book for your specific case. Might be tucked away in a bigger contract, you know, employment, business deal.
You got to find it first.
You have to find it, and then you have to read it, like really read it. Carefully.
Okay, so what are the key things you're looking for in that agreement? The non-negotiables.
You need to know who the provider is. They mentioned the AAA specifically here.
Right.
What set of rules applies? Because different providers have different rules. How many arbitrators? One, three. And things like where the hearing will be or if it's virtual, the format.
Okay, but why is that so critical? Isn't it just procedure?
Well, yes and no. The sources really emphasize that these details control almost everything that follows. Because the provider's rules, for example, they'll tell you how you submit evidence, what the deadlines are, maybe how much discovery, if any, you get.
Ah, okay. So it affects your whole strategy.
Completely. And the sources warn, you know, overlooking even one little provision in that agreement, it could lead to a mistake, a procedural misstep that could actually hurt your client's case.
Wow. Okay.
So rule number one from these materials, read that agreement first, plan based on it. It sets the stage for everything else.
Got it. Know the rules of this specific game before you do anything else.
Right.
Makes sense. So, okay, you've got the agreement nailed down. What's next? Before you even start grabbing documents or anything.
This is interesting. The sources say, basically, pause.
Pause.
Yeah. Don't just jump into collection mode. Step back.
Yeah.
Figure out what this dispute is really about. What's the core conflict here?
Kind of like finding the main point before writing the essay.
Exactly. Because arbitration, being potentially quicker, it really rewards clarity, focus.
Yeah. So identify the most important facts, the key legal points.
Yes. Not every fact. Not every legal argument, what actually matters? What's going to persuade the arbitrator?
The sources use this phrase. They say new attorneys should think like storytellers, not just litigators. What do they mean by that?
That's a really insightful point they make. Instead of just listing things, facts here, law there, you need to weave it together.
Into a story.
Into a coherent, logical story. Your case theory. It needs a beginning, a middle, an end, supported by the evidence and the law that leads the arbitrator to where you want them to go.
So you're guiding them, not just dumping information.
Precisely. Avoid overwhelming them. Guide them clearly.
Okay. Framework for the agreement. Core dispute identified. Narrative shaped. Now we get the proof.
Now you bring in the evidence and the sources know, yeah, arbitration can be more flexible on the rules of evidence compared to court.
Right. You hear that a lot.
But, and it's a big but, in these materials, that flexibility doesn't mean sloppy. Precision, professionalism, and how you handle evidence, still absolutely critical.
So what does that look like practically?
It means taking those contracts, emails, invoices, reports, whatever you have.
The raw materials.
Right. And organizing them. Really organizing them. They talk about categorized files, clear labels, digital, physical binders, whatever works, but make it systematic.
That signals you're prepared.
Exactly. And it also means
you can find stuff fast during the hearing.
You got it. Arbitrator asks for Exhibit 7B. Boom, you have it. It just makes your presentation smoother, more credible.
Makes sense.
And they add a small point, original documents or certified copies. They tend to carry a bit more weight.
Good tip.
And thinking about organizing it, maybe chronologically, maybe by theme, helps you tell that story effectively too.
Okay, so that's the paper. What about the people? the witnesses. Sources seem to say, choose carefully.
Oh, witness selection is huge. You're looking for people with obviously relevant knowledge, firsthand stuff.
Sure.
But also, can they communicate it clearly? And crucially, can they stay composed? Especially under cross-examination, composure is key.
And if the subject matter is really technical,
then you might need an expert witness. Someone with the credentials, obviously, but also someone who can explain complicated things simply.
Right.
But just picking the right person isn't enough. The sources are really strong on this. Witness preparation is just as vital, maybe more so.
Prep. What kind of prep are we talking?
Briefing them on the issues, walking them through their testimony, doing practice runs.
Like mock cross-examination.
Absolutely. Direct and cross. They need to know the key documents, the key facts, and importantly, how their piece fits into the overall story you're telling.
Because a good witness reinforces the narrative.
Exactly. Calm, prepared, they build your case. Mm-hmm. An unprepared one, even if they know the facts, can create confusion, doubt. It can really undermine you.
Okay. Now, before you even get to the hearing room, there's a key piece of paper. The sources call it almost like your opening statement written down, the statement of claim or defense.
Yeah, that's often the first detailed look the arbitrator gets at the substance of the dispute. It's your first big chance to be clear, credible.
Whether you're bringing the case or responding.
Right. It's your structured, written version of events.
And what absolutely needs to be in it.
According to these sources. What happened, why it matters legally, the basis for your claim or defense, and what outcome you want. What relief are you seeking?
And you should refer to documents. Legal points.
Yes, definitely refer to key evidence and legal provisions. But the sources caution, don't just dump citations or drown them in jargon.
So it's not purely a legal brief then?
No, they call it both a legal brief and a narrative roadmap. The goal isn't just to show off how much law you know.
It's to guide the arbitrator.
To guide them logically, efficiently, toward understanding and hopefully agreeing with your position. It really sets the tone.
Okay, all that groundwork laid, now you're actually gearing up for the hearing itself. How do the sources say you should prepare for that?
Well, even though the hearing might feel less formal than court,
the sources say don't let that fool you.
Exactly. It still demands strong advocacy, solid planning. So as the hearing gets closer, you're working on your opening statement, your closing argument.
Outlining witness questions.
Detailed outlines for direct and cross for each witness, yeah. Getting all your exhibits organized, marked, ready to go.
What about prepping specifically for the arbitrator? Anything there?
That's an interesting angle they raise. If you can, research the arbitrator's background a bit.
Why is that?
Well, do they tend to prefer really fact-heavy presentations? Or are they more open to deep dives into legal argument? Knowing that might help you tailor your approach slightly, just to communicate more effectively with that specific decision maker.
Subtle edge, maybe.
Could be. And they also stress, you got to be ready to think on your feet, respond to unexpected things, manage the flow.
Which means practice, right?
Oh, absolutely. Practice your arguments, run through witness exams, maybe even do a mock hearing. The sources really push practice for building confidence and effectiveness.
Let's switch gears slightly. Practicalities, costs, and timelines. The sources mention these too.
Yeah, important stuff. Arbitration often gets pitched as cheaper than court.
But not free.
Definitely not free. And the sources say you must talk about the potential costs with your client early on. Be transparent.
What kinds of costs are typical?
Well, your fees, obviously. Then there are filing fees with the provider, like AAA. The arbitrator themselves needs to be paid.
Right, their compensation.
Maybe travel costs if it's not local. Expert witnesses cost money, transcription, translation if needed. It adds up.
And the timeline isn't always predictable.
No, it really varies. Depends on how complex the case is, how busy the arbitrator is.
So managing expectations is key.
Crucial for both cost and time.
Yeah.
Builds trust with the client, helps everyone plan.
Okay. Another really key point the sources bring up. Even while you're prepping hard for that hearing, stay open to settlement.
Yes, this is vital. Arbitration ends in a binding decision, but settlements happen all the time, right up until the award.
And for a new lawyer, that's a balancing act. Prepping for war while being open to peace.
Kind of, yeah. You have to do the intensive prep work, assume it's going all the way. But you also need to be genuinely receptive if settlement talks start, or even exploring mediation.
Why? What's the benefit?
For the client, mostly. Settlement can save time, money, emotional drain compared to seeing it through.
Right. Predictability, too, maybe.
Sometimes, yeah. So the advice is, Stay engaged in negotiation. Be open to creative solutions. It might actually get your client a better result overall than just rolling the dice on the final award.
And speaking of help, the sources circle back to that Tray AI chatbook tool.
Right. They highlight it as a practical support, especially for new attorneys. They say it's valuable for getting quick answers.
Like procedural questions.
Yeah. Common questions about AAA rules, maybe checklists for submissions, things you might encounter and not be sure about.
So it's like having a guide on demand.
Kind of like having a virtual mentor. Yeah. Available 24/7, a quick reference when you're in the thick of preparing something and just need to double check a procedure.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. What's the big picture takeaway from these sources for a new attorney facing arbitration?
They really frame arbitration as actually a potentially great place for new ADR lawyers to hone their skills.
How so?
They use this phrase, a high-impact, low-formality environment.
High-impact, low-formality. Meaning the results matter a lot, but the courtroom rules might be a bit relaxed.
That's the idea. And this is the critical part, that low formality absolutely does not mean low standards.
Doesn't mean you can slack off.
Not at all. It demands just as much professionalism, just as much careful prep, just as much strategic thinking as a trial, maybe even more focused thinking because it can move faster.
So the path to doing well isn't about cutting corners.
No, it's about mastering those basics, the agreement, the rules, building that clear, compelling story.
Backed by solid evidence.
Well-organized evidence, yes. And prepared witnesses. And then presenting it all with confidence.
And they suggest doing that well. It's good for the client, obviously, but also good for the attorney's career.
Definitely. It builds your reputation, your skills, and having resources like that Jury AI chatbook just makes it a bit more manageable, especially early on.
It really sounds like it's about understanding the specific nature of arbitration, its flexibility and its demands, and tailoring your approach.
Exactly. It's that specific balance.
Which kind of leaves us with this final thought drawn from the sources.
Yeah.
How does really grasping that tension, the low formality setting versus the need for high impact precision, how does that change the way you think about crafting your client's story and preparing every single detail for this unique process? Something to definitely chew on.